I like to imagine the day that Jesus was baptized on the Jordan River. I've been to a place that I think is the Jordan River. It's here in the United States, but to me it's exactly what the Jordan River would look like, with the water running and cold and stones covering the bottom and beautiful moss covering the sides. And I can just imagine Jesus coming, walking down through all of the people, and the surprise of John being asked to baptize him. And then Jesus was baptized, and the dove came down, and God said, "This is my son." And the glory that Jesus must have felt at that moment, because as we know, this journey that he's making it as a human man, just like you and me, just like us. He must have just been overwhelmed by this incredible day and the beauty of the day and the celebration and the people standing all around him. And it says the devil led him into the wilderness. And right when I get to that part, I always just think to myself, and now Jesus has an opportunity to just talk to God, to just open his heart and just be filled with the wonder of all that has gone on before him and remembering all of the beauty of this particular day. But oh no, the devil shows up. The devil shows up and begins right away testing him with a whole variety of things. And of course, Jesus is our example in saying no to the devil, no to all of the temptations that we might be faced with, no, and going on. But you know what? Did you ever listen to that last sentence? It says, until another time. That means the devil's coming back didn't just go away from Jesus forever. The devil's coming back. I think about a wedding that I did recently that was just really so beautiful. It was held on the top of a huge hill and surrounded by just some of the most beautiful scenery and flowers on that particular day. And this young couple were so cute, and they just had written the most beautiful vows and were just ready to embrace God to be a part of their lives. And they just really were so overwhelmed with the whole day and the whole situation. And standing there for me, just having such a sense of the Holy Spirit, just surrounding us all, their family, them, and this beautiful, beautiful event where they took their vows and pledged to one another and hugged and kissed one another, and everything about it was just so beautiful. And then in an instant, as they began to go down the path, with everybody clapping and rejoicing, the cameras began. And the pictures began. And really, they didn't get to the end of the path until all of a sudden the photographer had the families all lined up here and here. And the mood, that beautiful mood up there, just gone in a flash. Well, it just didn't continue like that, of course, you know, because then we went to the reception. It was a wild reception, and they had an incredibly wonderful time. But I just always wondered, when they got home, did they have an opportunity to bring the whole feeling of their wedding, the whole feeling of their marriage back into their lives? Did Jesus, as he continued on after all of the temptations, was he thinking about the next temptations, or was he looking forward to what he was going to do for the people that he was preparing to bring to the love of God? What was happening at those particular times? What happens to you and I when we are in such a place that is just so beautiful and just so serene, and you just know that God is there? And then you get back in the car, and on the radio comes, and we have the news. And the whole, everything is just smashed to pieces. Do we have an opportunity? Do we have an opportunity to gather that wonderful Holy Spirit moment back into our hearts, turn off the radio, and just live. Live in the moments with God. I think how often I am scurrying around, and then like a flash, I see something that's just lovely. This morning, getting up an hour earlier was not exactly the kind of thing that I like to do. But I kept saying to myself, when you go out the door and get in the car, the sky is going to be beautiful. It will be worth it. The sky will be just magnificent. And that's what happened. Rosy red, beautiful clouds, just a beautiful, beautiful day. Knowing that I was going to come here and be a part of this congregation and have a sense to listen to David and Heidi play their music and sing along with you, all of the things that I love to do. This is a safe space for me. This is a wonderful place. We had a wonderful Ash Wednesday service, and we had these rocks. And we had to put the rocks, give them back to Father Ken. But actually, he had to give mine back to me today because he said it had been blessed by water from the Jordan. I wanted that rock. I wanted to be able to hold on to it because for me, things like that we can hold on to. I heard in a song this morning, it said, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." Isn't that so beautiful? Don't you just want to hang on to something like that? Something that you can repeat over and over again? That's the kind of thing that I used to give in my heart to the people that I helped, like all of the foster kids. Father Ken was talking this morning about the fact that Dee will be doing this craft program at Chamberlain's. And I never go to that, even though I love crafts. Because it brings back for me so many memories of the foster kids who lived at our house, who came from juvenile hall, who lived in places that I couldn't even imagine. And I went to places I couldn't even imagine that I would go at 3 o'clock in the morning in the dark to collect a poor young boy that was so drunk that they had to put him into the car. So many different places, and yet what I wanted to do so much was just surround them with God's love. Surround them with my love. Surround them with the love of our family because it was something that they never had before. In Colossians, we get the answer to how we're supposed to be. I can't really remember all of those beautiful words and things that we're supposed to be able to hold on to dress ourselves, in the love of Christ. But in the end, what it says is the most important thing to put on is love. That's the most important thing to put on. And when you're holding a frightened animal, a frightened child, a human being who is suffering, when you are holding any of those, if you somehow can just drape them in love, just surround them with all of that loving feeling so that they have that as they are tempted and they go through their lives, just like Jesus, they can always draw on the love of Christ. We can always draw on the love of Christ. My bet is I'll hardly get out the door before I'm tempted in one way or another. It's just a really sneaky thing, these temptations. They just come out of nowhere. And saying no all of the time seems really difficult, unless, of course, you're willing to hold onto Jesus' hand and know that he too was tempted just like you and me, and that he needed to go forward to drape all of us in love. And so as you go out the door this morning, and as we begin our Lenten journey together, what I would hope is that we have a sense of all of the world around us. It never goes away. All of the temptations that are out there, all of those things that you might tempt someone else to do, that in fact, during this Lenten journey, you can really concentrate on draping yourself in the love of Christ. That the clothes you put on are the clothes of honor and respect and kindness and quietness and serenity, and that you are able to take and give that mantle to the people around you. For it is with God's love that we can overcome temptations, forgive ourselves regularly, and go forward helping the world around us. We thank you, God, for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.